Let me just dive right into the bill that's currently on the floor, which is a emergency supplemental bill. It's a national security bill to which I have introduced an amendment that would help beef up border security in light of the drug violence that's unfortunately, in addition to 23,000 Mexicans who have died since 2006, we had two students, one former student at the University of Texas, El Paso, and one current student caught up in the violence and killed in Juarez this last weekend. Unfortunately, the border security is becoming a bigger problem, not a smaller problem, because of a failure to invest in more boots on the ground, more including not only Border Patrol, but Customs and Border Protection, ICE agents, other folks, for example, with the DEA, people with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. As President Calderon said when he was here, one of the problems we have, his country has, is guns going south, and we need more ATF agents to identify the straw purchasers and enforce our own laws against bulk purchase and transfer to the hands of drug cartels in Mexico. The president came to our Republican luncheon yesterday and spoke about a lot of things. We talk about immigration reform, jobs, obviously the offshore drilling in light of the current spill that is ongoing in the Gulf of Mexico. But nowhere during the conversation did the president demonstrate any particular interest in increased border security, claiming instead that his administration was basically doing what needed to be done. So you can imagine our surprise when after the meeting, there was an announcement that an additional 1,200 National Guard would be sent to the border for border security measures, and the president would be requesting $500 million for certain unspecified uses, which we don't yet know about. So not waiting for that, I've introduced an amendment that would provide the additional resources, unmanned aerial vehicles, helicopters, boots on the ground, and order to begin to increase that security now as soon as possible. We'll see how those votes go on the floor. But the problem with the National Guard, while I do recognize they represent a temporary solution, is that it is just that. And as you know, the National Guard is governed by controlling American law, which prohibits them from engaging in an active law enforcement function. That's a law dating back to the last century known as Posse Comitatus. So this is at best a temporary solution that's not enough. It's not a big enough solution because obviously we have a roughly 2,000-mile southern border and 1,200 National Guardsmen, particularly in this limited temporary capacity, is not going to provide the sort of long-term solution that we need. Let me move now to the BP oil spill. Earlier today, I met with Secretary of the Interior Ken Salazar and a number of senators from Gulf states, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, and we discussed with Secretary Salazar, who will be making a recommendation to the president as early as tonight, on extending the moratorium for offshore drilling. Basically, the message at this meeting was that all offshore drilling is not the same. Indeed, there were a number of people joining us who drill in much shallower water, primarily for natural gas, where the blowout preventers are above the ground and do not represent the huge technology challenge and other physical challenges that the British Petroleum well, some 5,000 feet below the surface, present. So we will continue to try, and as we hope and pray that the well can be killed as a result of this top kill that is being attempted today. We also know that on going forward, we need to figure out exactly what went wrong, make sure it doesn't happen again. But regardless, we will not all of a sudden become energy independent and not need the oil and gas that comes from American sources. And so this is sort of like, I think, after the Exxon Valdez, after the perhaps another comparison or metaphor, the Challenger incident, we didn't give up human spaceflight, nor can we give up the domestic oil and gas production we have here in the United States. We just need to make sure that this never happens again, if humanly possible. Finally, let me just mention, tomorrow a Senate Judiciary Subcommittee will hold a hearing on the pending United Continental Airlines merger. I'm interested in learning more about the merger. I am going to see the Chief Executive Officer of Continental later today. The reason this is important, obviously, is for consumers. I want to know whether this merger will have any anti-competitive impact, which will ultimately raise costs of air transportation to consumers. Obviously, I'm interested in whether this merger will threaten thousands of Texas jobs, since Continental obviously has its hub in Houston. And I'm going to look for some concrete assurances that Texas jobs will be protected should this merger go forward. A lot of other stuff going on, but rather than have me go into that, let me just entertain your questions.
Maria Arestio, let me jump right in. I'm closely following the oil spill, and I wanted you to talk a little bit more about the administration posture on offshore drilling. I mean, you mentioned that, of course, the senators from the Gulf states who would be, well, with the exception of maybe Florida, supportive of continued drilling. You know, sort of what was your message ultimately, and what was Mr. Salazar saying in return?
Well, my impression is that Secretary Salazar, who I've known both in his service as a United States senator, and he and I were both attorney generals together, is that he's a sensible guy. And I think he's certainly will be inclined to give sensible advice to the president. And I hope that politics doesn't unnecessarily intrude in what should otherwise be a rational and pragmatic decision. We produce an awful lot of our domestic oil and gas from the outer continental shelf in the Gulf of Mexico, and have done so safely for decades. Obviously, we need to find out what happened here, obviously stop the spill, and to do everything we can to make sure it never, ever happens again. But once we do that, that is not going to suddenly catapult us into energy self-sufficiency, having denied ourselves one of the primary sources of energy right here in America. So my hope is, Maria, that that we take a calm, deliberate look at what happened here, do everything we can possible to make sure from a regulatory standpoint and from a industry practice standpoint that it never happens again. But my hope is that once we've determined we can safely proceed, that we do so, because we're not going to be able to give up this great domestic energy reserve without becoming increasingly dependent on foreign sources of oil from dangerous parts of the world.
Just to follow up, so is it your sense, though, that for a time being they will extend the moratorium?
Well, my hope is that they would recognize a difference between the deep water drilling, like this well is, some 5,000 feet below the surface, and the differences between that and more shallow drilling in less than 1,000 feet, which don't present the same sort of issues. My hope is that they take a careful, nuanced look at this and allow the industry to proceed where it can safely be done, and while we put the rest on hold pending a further investigation of the causes and of the BP oil spill. I would say, just finally on that point, that this is not just an abstract question. There are thousands of people in Texas employed in the oil and gas industry, and if you impose a broad moratorium, it's going to put a lot of people out of work, and that's a serious matter.
Senator, hey, it's Todd Gilman. How are you?
Yes, sir, Todd.
Can I ask you about the U.S. attorney fight with the Democrats in the White House? The Democrats, we're reporting today, are unanimous behind this magistrate, Jeff Kaplan. You have said that you will only support Saldana. Is that still your position, and where does this stand? And has anybody from the White House or from the Democratic delegation discussed Kaplan with you?
I have not talked to the White House. I think we were supposed to have a telephone conversation scheduled either for yesterday or today with the White House counsel, but I have not yet I think there was a scheduling problem on his end, and so that has not happened. My position is, Todd, that this bipartisan Federal Judicial Evaluation Committee exists for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to take all of the applications of individuals who are interested to go through those and help us identify the best and the brightest, the most talented people for these important jobs. That happened, and Sarah Saldana came out number one, head and shoulders, literally above the rest. So this should not be just, in my view, just a political exercise, and this ought to be about an effort to find the highest quality candidate that can be found, and that's the reason why I've supported her.
But Kaplan hasn't been through that process at all, right? I mean, understanding is he hasn't even applied through that process?
I'm not aware that he has. I can't tell you unequivocally, but that would be a serious problem because I'm not going to, we're not going to allow people to circumvent the quality control process and because of their political connections get appointed to the federal courts or to the U.S. Attorney's Office. I don't know why Mr. Kaplan didn't apply and didn't participate in that process.
Hey, Senator, this is Mike with WOAI News Radio San Antonio.
Sure.
Story out in Politico this week talking with the FBI about a surge in death threats against lawmakers, yourself being mentioned in the article that was written about someone threatening you with bodily harm. Do you know what they might be talking about, and can you react to the story says that death threats against members of Congress up 300% in the first few months of 2010?
Well, I can tell you that unfortunately it's not the first time, and I think it's perhaps a sign of frustration, but also the fact that people in public office and public life happen to be more visible and be the focus of people's frustrations. But many times these sorts of threats are made by people who have no ability and no intention to actually carry them out. But I appreciate the folks in the at the Capitol Police and otherwise who make sure that no one who had the intention or ability to carry it out is able to do so.
Does it all at all worry you that it's up this high, up 300% according to this article in the first few months?
Sure, that's a concern. I think it's a word to the wise should be sufficient that people need to be careful. But at the same time, you can't live in a bubble.
Hey, Senator Robert Wood at TSN.
Robert?
Sorry if you already covered this because I got in a little late. Obviously, the 1,200 troops coming to the border, do we know yet how many of those have been assigned to the Texas-Mexico border, or when will we find that out?
We don't know how many of these 1,200 troops would be assigned to the Texas-Mexico border. And in fact, there has been a misallocation, in my view, of resources, both boots on the ground and equipment and technology. So much of it seems to have gravitated toward California and Arizona, perhaps because they've been louder in their complaints about the lack of border security. But we need to have Texas's 1,200-mile border taken care of. That's the reason why I think it is really just not sufficient to say that 1,200 National Guardsmen who will be assigned on a temporary basis, who will be largely doing non-law enforcement jobs, is going to accomplish the goal of border security. That should be our goal, and the question should be, how do we best accomplish it? This is an insufficient gesture, one made to try to appease critics, but frankly not one designed to get the job done.
If I can follow up on that, would the $500 million being spent on the Guard troops been better spent in hiring more Border Patrol officers?
Well, our professional Border Patrol officers and professional Customs and Border Patrol agents and people who work for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, these are the full-time professional law enforcement agencies at the federal level who can provide a permanent level of security along our border. a temporary assignment of Border Patrol, excuse me, of National Guardsmen cannot. And I think this should be seen as a temporary gesture and certainly not a complete solution. That's why I've introduced an amendment on the pending legislation that would provide it $2 billion worth of additional resources, both equipment and personnel and technology, to help improve border security from where it is now, particularly in light of the drug violence spilling over into the United States. Are there any other questions?
Real quickly, to finish it up, can you comment real quick about this prepaid cell phone bill that you and Senator Schumer are talking about?
Well, the Times Square bomber, like other terrorists, had gotten a prepaid cell phone, which is virtually untraceable. And this legislation is designed to change that so that terrorists and other individuals that intend to do Americans harm can evade detection and incarceration. So this legislation is designed to make sure that those prepaid cell phones are traceable and help law enforcement and national security forces to identify potential problems and certainly to track individuals who may be using this means of communication in order to try to otherwise avoid detection. Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Senator.
Thank you.